Hello. Only 20% of agricultural plastic is currently being recycled in the UK. So why is this? What are the obstacles that farmers face when it comes to recycling and the importance of finding a solution that will be cost-effective and convenient? Over the next 30 minutes or so, hear from experts at the organisation Agriculture Plastics Environment and Berry, a plastic packaging manufacturer, about why this is so much lower than other European countries. This is all coming on the Mole Valley Farmers podcast.
Okay, we're ready for another Mole Valley Farmers podcast, and I'm delighted to say that we've got two chaps in the virtual room with us today, Stuart and Ian, to talk about plastics, agriculture, recycling, the environment, all of that in this conversation today. But let's start with some introductions. Let's go to you first, Stuart. Just say who you are and what you'll be informing us about today.
Good morning, Seth. Yeah, my name is Stuart Anthony. I'm technical training manager for Berry BPI. Mole Valley are a key customer of ours, and we supply bale wraps, sided sheets and harvest products into the company. Our company ethos is very much a case of where we move forward from environmentally aware products and where we can make a change and make a difference. And these are what we'll be exploring today as we discuss during the podcast.
Thanks very much, Stuart. Looking forward to hearing more about those. And Ian, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Seth. My name is Ian Creasy. I am the director of a business called Agriculture Plastics Environment, which gets shortened always to APE, which is how we'll refer to it, I think, today. We are an industry body, not-for-profit, that is focused solely on finding ways to increase the level of agricultural plastics recycling off UK farms for obvious reasons to do with environment, soil health and management, which I'm sure we'll get into as the conversation evolves.
Great. Thanks very much, Ian. As you say, we will be referring to yourself as APE as we go through, and I'm sure it's a name that is familiar with a number of farmers already. But if you aren't aware, then you will be at the end of our half an hour conversation. So let's kick off then with what really is the current situation in the UK for plastic use and recycling within agriculture. Who wants to start us with that meaty topic?
Shall I go first? Fundamentally, in a sustainable farming environment, agricultural plastics plays a critical role. It's almost impossible to imagine how one can farm without agricultural plastics. The issue we face now in the UK is that the recycling rate of agricultural plastics is pretty poor in comparison to some of our, you know, comparative markets in Europe. You know, so for example, in France or Germany, recycling rates of agricultural plastic are in the 80% level. In the UK, we're at 25 to 30% at best. So we have a real problem. And the whole issue really, it revolves around how farmers get their plastic off farm and then how we get that to recycling centres so it can then be brought back and used back in the plastics food chain. But the reality is that if we don't find solutions to this, then at some stage, given the whole pressure on plastics use per se across, you know, across both household, you know, goods and industrial goods, if we don't find a solution, then the risk is that solutions are found forward. So the whole purpose of working with APE, with Berry, with Mole Valley and others is to find solutions that work at farm level to help farmers recycle agricultural plastic as opposed to burning it or burying it or landfilling it or whatever.
And those are really sensible things to be talking about, Ian, because this is a topic that we just can't hide away from, can we? In whatever aspect of our lives, farming and domestic lives, we have to deal with this plastic. So let's go to Stuart. Stuart, as a plastics producer for you as well, you want that plastic back, right, don't you, to be able to make more plastics?
Yes, we do. And I think the ethos of Berry, our owners, we obviously are the BPI part, is the agricultural bale wrap part of the business. We, from our point of view, we've had a recycling division for 25 years, and a lot of then turns of those products then turn into third life products, as in bin bags, plaswood, those underlay for concrete floors. But I think you're quite right. That figure and what Ian mentioned has stagnated over the years, and without a regulatory recycling scheme, which is probably the way forward, as in other countries. That's what we need to get this increased. But from our point of view, our whole ethos as a business is very much now geared to, we like what we call a five-pillar program, where this includes the quality of what we make, but how we can make, as we'll discuss later, stronger, lighter materials to reduce waste, but also increase efficiency that can be recycled as well. So I think we're an all-encompassing with what the APE principles are as well. We as a company, despite being a plastic manufacturer, we know our aim is to make the more efficient use of plastic going forward, to be able to keep us in this market, because if we don't take these actions and stay where we are, and obviously, as you said, we're going to come under huge pressure, even more than we are now. And I think what we must remember as well, that as Ian said, we can't manage without plastic, because our silage wrap, we need it for the ensiling and maturing of the silage. It's not just a packaging, it's actually a very important part of the cycle of making good fodder for our animals throughout the UK. So it's a very much encompassing our five pillar program and everything that is very important as we go forward in future use of plastics.
Yeah, indeed so, Stu, and we'll be coming on to those advances within your industry a little bit later within the podcast. Ian, what is it then, do you believe, within the farming community that does prevent this from happening? Because as you say, around 20% is collected, but what is it that's stopping the remaining plastic from being returned into the recycling mix?
Yeah, I think there are three or four issues that are running, and each of them plays a role. And I'm not sure which is the most important, but fundamentally, starting point is that more often than not, it is very difficult for a farmer to get his plastic off farm in the sense that there may not be a local collector available. And if you think that a lot of the plastics that is used in agriculture is in livestock environments, and quite a lot of those livestock farming environments are in more challenged, geographical areas. Roads are smaller, it's difficult to get to. So firstly, helping or getting the plastic off a farm is a challenge for farmers. Allied to that, because of that challenge, it is also expensive. And, currently the farmer pays. There is no support from government, which we'll come to in a moment. But right now it all falls on the farmer's desk, if you will, to pay for the plastic once he's got it off, or to get it off the farm. And that is not a cheap thing, both from a transportation and physical way of getting, and also then agricultural plastic by definition tends to be, it's grubby, it's got moisture in it, etc. So the cost of recycling is also significantly more than if you're talking about household plastic waste, for example. So there's a charge there. So ability to get the product off farm, if you like, convenience, the cost of it is falling on the farmer's doorstep, and not everybody wants to cover that. And actually information in terms of helping farmers understand how they do this. This is, relatively a new industry. And so giving farmers advice and help and information about how they can get plastic off farm is a key part of the overall, if you want to call it the overall solution. But there is no one silver bullet. This is a collected effort that's going to make this work. And I think that's almost the essence of this podcast, because the reason why it's not just APE talking about this, but we have a plastics manufacturer in Bury, we have a big distributor in Mull, is that I think as an industry, we've recognised that it's the collective effort of all of these different parts of the industry working together that's going to fix this problem, as opposed to any one company or any one organization coming up with the solutions. It really is an industry issue. And there are solutions available. So that's the important part.
Thanks for listening this far. It's great you've been able to join us. And can I ask you, though, to hit the subscribe button wherever you're accessing the podcast, as it really means a lot to us. And you will then be reminded when the latest Mole Valley Farmers podcast is published. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we'll get into those again very, very soon. Just as a quick point to that, Ian, in Europe where the recycling rates are better, do they have a subsidised scheme?
Well, it varies. Sometimes it's subsidised, sometimes it's mandated. I think there are some key learnings from Europe where it works. And they fall into two things. One is government support. And if you call that subsidies or incentives, whatever way you describe it, that is a key part of it. The second part, which points to the ability to get, you know, used plastic off farm, in Europe, they've set up in almost every country that's successful something called bring centres, i.e. collection points where farmers can take their used plastic once or twice a year to a pre-described location. It could be a farmer's market, a cattle market, whatever. And that's, if you will, that bring centre structure has proved to be very successful in increasing recycling rates. Not surprisingly, because one, farmers know about it and farmers talk to each other and they share information. And number two, it's a lot cheaper for a farmer to take his plastic to a pre-described area than having an individual collector with a grab hook and a lorry come to his farm. Just for obvious, you know, just obvious transportation reasons. And then the third thing in certain areas is just having some, you know, there was in Ireland, for example, they have quite a heavily legislated structure whereby farmers pay for the recycling cost as part of their original cost of materials, whether it's silage bale wrap or silage sheeting, whatever. And so having paid for it, you know, farmers being farmers will want to get the value out of that. So that, if you like, drives, you know, brutally put, that drives compliance. But, and I want to stress this, in the UK, we do not think that's the way to go. We would rather follow a model of support and incentive than, if you will, tough legislation.
Yeah, that makes good sense, Ian. And Stuart, when you're out there and you're speaking to farmers on farm, you're probably having these conversations, aren't you? Because you're supplying them with the product. And it makes sense then to talk about what you do with it afterwards.
Yes, you're absolutely correct there. And picking up on a few points Ian made, there is no one simple answer. I think we have to look very collectively. I think a lot of farmers, especially the younger generation, are very aware that we have the need to recycle and be more efficient. That is where the world that we live in now, we are being driven. And I think, as Ian said, we all need to realise that recycling is not cheap. You know, we put a lot of money in from the other side in as much as the business we support. But our recycling division, it covers its costs, but actually recycling is expensive. So, as I said, nothing is for free in this world. But I think farmers realise this is what has got to happen, and they know the way forward. I think it's probably a message that takes longer to get over. Perhaps there's an older generation that perhaps don't embrace it quite as much. But I think if we wish to have these products available to us to enhance our products on the farm, we are going to have to work, and they know as well, we're going to have to work with future legislation or incentives, which I think is absolutely the better way, where perhaps you could be incentivised on price per litre of your milk or your live weight gain, if you can prove you recycle, then that help more than covers any costs involved in recycling. Give a carrot rather than a stick, I think, is very important.
And Ian, do you think that is something that could be happening? Is that something that APE is looking to try to endorse?
Yeah, so APE's role in this is as follows. We are a not-for-profit organisation, which is really important. So we're not in the business of making money out of recycling. We're in the business of making recycling work. APE is, if you will, supported by all of the leading plastics manufacturers, of which obviously, you know, Berry is a key part of that, is the largest in the UK, and the leading distributor, which Mole, again, is a key part as one of the largest in the UK. And the role we have, if you will, is like a catalyst working across the industry to find the right solutions and respecting what's worked in other markets. Not that you want to do a sort of, you know, a complete copy and paste, but there are lessons to be learned. But most importantly, also working with government to find the right solutions built around incentivization rather than legislation. So to that end, we're in conversation with DEFRA from a UK perspective. We're in conversation with the Welsh government and looking at a particular project in the south area of Wales, which they've got running, to find what the right solutions are locally to give farmers both the infrastructure they require to get their used plastic off farm and to help them in the cost process. Now, the solution, or what we feel the best solution is for sure for this cost to be if you like, a shared cost, and government play a role in that. And there are examples, for example, SFI, which the English government has got running very successfully now. There is a sustainable farming incentive program, which is currently built around land-based actions, you know, whether it's hedgerows, wildflowers, herbal lays, you name it. And it doesn't feel like a big extension from that to say, right, what about incentivizing management-based actions, again, based on the concept of what is the right thing to do for the environment? And you could see how plastics recycling could easily fall into an SFI program as a management-based action, all aimed towards the same thing as all the other SFI actions, which is how we both farm sustainably, drive food security in the UK, but also protect our environment for future generations.
Great points, Ian, and lots to discuss there in the higher echelons, certainly above our pay grade, that is for sure, here on the Moyle Valley Farmers podcast. But it's great to hear that those conversations are actively happening, because at Moyle, we're all about trying to get the best value for farmers. And so they will be delighted, I'm sure, to hear that those kind of conversations are happening, to be able to bring it in without costing them an arm and a leg. Stuart, for yourself, I guess you're out on farm, you're speaking to people. Have you noticed that conversation has started to shift more towards what do I do with this plastic afterwards than it was, say, 5-10 years ago?
Very much so. I think we've seen a sea change in the last 3 to 4 years. I think very much so that perhaps bigger farming publications are now focusing on that, the possibility that we're either incentive, we won't use the word levy, but there will be pushes towards that way of what we're doing from that point of view. So awareness has grown greatly. And I think probably we'll have conversations where we talk to customers now that probably we weren't having 3 or 4 years ago. So I think there is an awareness. And as we know, agriculture, it sometimes can things can move slightly slower perhaps than other things, because that's the nature, that's the tradition of the industry. But awareness is definitely growing, and the need to how can we tackle these situations to make it more feasible and better for all of us as producers and end users.
We've discussed what the issue is. We've spoken about what's going on behind the scenes at the higher levels with the work of APE as well, to try to get a solution for this plastic situation. But let's talk about what farmers can do right now. So as of now, they've got the plastics, there they are. What do they do with it to be able to begin this journey? I guess the first thing, Stuart, whether you must say to them is collect it and sort it. Is that right, into the different types of plastics?
I think traditionally, with the way it's been disposed in the past, there hasn't been a great deal of care in how plastic is kept and controlled. Obviously, as businesses buy it in to make third life products, if wrap can be collected, bale wrap and sheeting can be kept cleaner with no debris, no dirt in it, this makes a huge difference to the end, to our recycling division when we get there, because we use large volumes of water to wash and clean the dirt and the soil out of it. So actually that would make it an easier product we can turn into recycling and make the whole circular effect a lot better. But I said certainly looking after it. And also the difference as well now is, you know, obviously some, you have to separate some plastics from the other. If you can use a plastic, it's all in one, it's going to be easier. But certain ones have to be kept separate. You can recycle bale net, but it is more difficult in its nature than perhaps recycling plastics together. So those have to be separated. So it's what we can make life easier on the farm, but also make it more palatable for when it's picked up for the go in. And also, we don't want debris. We find bricks and wood and all sorts in piles that are coming to there. It's managing that. It's managing the stock on the farm that is more palatable. And this, in return, will reduce the costs of recycling for everyone. But it's a message we have to get across the board to all people preparing plastic to come into the recycling divisions.
Yeah, communication is key with all of these things, because we often find, don't we, that people will change their habits if they understand why they need to change the habit in the first place. So important points you're mentioning there, you know, silage wrap in one bag, twine or netting in another, separate these plastics. And Ian Stewart just mentioned it within that answer, cleaning the plastic as well, isn't it? Because if it's not clean, it then becomes so much harder, doesn't it, to deal with further down the line.
The issue on cleanliness is this, and I think people are aware of it, but it really helps focus one's attention. You pay recycling costs on plastic based on weight. If you can imagine, silage bale wrap or silage sheeting, if you have, muck on it, soil, organic matter, whatever it may be, and you then add moisture to that, you can often add 50%, even 100% to the weight of that product from the original weight that you were bringing onto the farm, and loading into your baler, through to the final weight when you start to recycle it. So you're effectively paying double the cost of the plastic because of moisture, organic matter. So that, if you like, focuses one's attention in terms of why is it important to keep this product, when once used, as dry and as clean as you can. Saying that, this is farm plastic. It's on a farm environment. Livestock farms in particular are not necessarily the cleanest places. So one's got to also be, somewhat practical about this. And cleaning a product on a farm is tough. But the way you store it can have a big impact, can help. So even if you can't get it clean on a farm, because, but maybe you can brush off silage, sheeting, whatever it may be. But once you've used it, before it is picked up off the farm or you take it to a bring centre, how you store it can, again, have a significant impact on the cost you pay at the end of the day. And that's the focus, is how do you make this as cost-effective as possible for the farmer, and also as Stuart mentioned, when it then arrives at the recycling centre, it's a lot easier to process. And it's that combination. The message really is you pay for it if you don't, because it's added weight. Keep it as dry and as clean as you possibly can, particularly post-use when you're storing it. So don't just chuck it in the corner of the yard, because that's just going to gather moisture, gather muck, and the cost of that is going to be significantly increased.
And do you think that it is a realistic thing at the moment to be asking farmers to go that extra effort? And do you think that that incentive that they'll have to pay if they don't is enough of a carrot to convince?
Well, I'm a farmer myself. So in my experience, if I can find ways of reducing costs, particularly in the current environment, then I'm going to try and do that. Clearly, as I said, it has to be practical for a farm environment. And not everybody has a spare shed or a corner of a shed they can put this product in. But even if you can't do that, if you're sticking your plastic in fertilizer sacks and then making sure the top is tied off so it keeps the vast majority of the moisture out, I think that is a practical step you can take on farm. We're not trying to create a completely clean environment here. We're just trying to provide advice so that if farmers can take on board ways of means of storing it, keeping it in plastic bags, if possible, keeping it undercover, it just benefits the whole process. And I think as Stuart said, there's been a marked difference over the last 3 or 4 years. And I think people are more aware of this. We're really following a model that we're already doing as households anyway, if you think of our household way. So it's just an extension of that to our business. And younger farmers, for sure, are more focused on this. I think it's just because of, that's, again, been the environment we've grown up in, that the environment is important. Plastic is a vital part of farming, but also how you manage that plastic is critical to our environmental management going forward. And indeed, we haven't talked about this, but things like soil health and carbon footprint.
Yeah, which was something I was about to move on to.
Oh, that's perfect segue.
It is. It is indeed. Because if plastics end up in the ground, that's not a good situation, is it, for anyone? Because one, they're not being returned to be reused again, and they're potentially harming the environment.
Yeah. I mean, we've all driven around the landscape and we've seen... blown plastic in hedgerows and things like that. There is a lot of work going on right now in terms of soil health and the whole focus of farming moving more towards soil health than in the past. And obviously part of that is pollution and microplastics. And, you know, we don't want to get into a science lesson about that today, but I think again, that the simplicity of this is that plastics are a really important part of farming, but how you look after them, how you get them off the farm, off the land, out of the environment and back into the recycling structure so they can be used again is just smart management on every level. And, you know, not everybody will follow that pattern, but the more we can get people to be aware of this and just take the necessary actions, the better off we're going to be. And yes, soil health is a key part of that. Microplastics is an issue, whether that's through biodegradable plastics or just through plastics that are broken down over time in the environment. And those are the sort of things we've got to go forward with.
And I guess you would endorse that, Stuart, as well, isn't it? Because, you know, in the wider population, plastics have come into a bit of a battering. But I think there is a bit of a movement now to realise that actually plastics are important. It's just how we deal with it at the end of their life that is the missing piece here.
I think certainly prior to COVID, we were having a huge battering on where we were with plastics. But I think COVID, the realization that perhaps we couldn't have beat that situation without plastic and containing disease, but also the fact that we can't go back to where we were 50 years ago. We need plastic in our businesses to enhance it, but it's the efficient use and the efficient products you're using to reduce it as much as possible, that and an environmentally friendly way that allows us that continuation on as we move forward. And also, Berry is a business, and I know Mall Valley is a business. We all have targets to be our environmental expectations by 2040, 2035 are huge as overall businesses. So we're all being driven that way from that situation.
Absolutely. It is on everybody's minds. So let's throw it forward then, Stuart, and give us what are the Berry top tips for future plastics that are coming? What are the innovations and things that we'll be hearing about?
Yes, and as I said, because our expectations overall as a global business of being sort of having a circular economy where we're giving back our supplies rather than keep drawing them out of the ground, we very much want, we call it the overall for the business, but also for our silo bale wrap business, we have a 5-pillar program, and these are the 5 ethoses we stick to, that whatever we do with products, we must have that consistent quality. But it's seen sort of finding products, increased efficiency and reduced waste, which covers what we've been talking about. And we do this by moving into stronger lightweight films. And so this allows us to actually use less plastic, which I'll come on to in a little while, to do the same job and even enhance the silage. But also what is very important, as we all know, and we're seeing this already with legislation in the industrial part of the world and even in the UK, is that we need to be putting integrating recycled content back into our products. And this is because this then helps with reducing our carbon footprint, but also it also helps if legislation and taxation come in, is going to be very, very important. And then this allows us to do other products where we only use plastic, so they can all be recycled easy together. And like the sort of the Intel inside word for us is sustain, and that means that we put post-consumer materials recycling back into our products, because obviously you can't put just bale wrap back into that because it would be very inefficient, the product wouldn't work correctly, and it wouldn't be that consistent quality we expect with xylotite. So we've done a lot of development in producing a product where we can recycle 25 to 30% recycled material into products. So now we're going down that way, and in a very short time I can see this takes a lot of technology of actually doing it, because you've got to be able to do this. And the future of bale wrap very much hangs in the fact that we're going to have to get recycled content into our plastic. But not only that, one that works consistently wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, that post-consumer recycling is such a big issue, isn't it? Because if people can put it to use, like yourselves at Berry, it's serving two functions, isn't it? Because it's stopping it from going elsewhere.
Yes, and as I said, it has to be, when we say post-consumer recycling, it's probably the clearer type packagings from supermarket food packaging, pallet wraps. We put that in there, so we have to get a high enough grade that it meets our standards and has classification. Obviously, the bale wrap we have with it in has to meet our world standards with a RASI Plus qualification to show that it is of doing what it says. We are using a reducing use of virgin polymers by putting in recycled content. There are, obviously, in any world, you'll have spurious claims of such has got this in and that in, but it's actually proven with the paperwork that is actually done correctly. But it is very important that we are doing a better job than enhance silage production, but reduce plastic at the same time.
Indeed. And so if you're passing your local supermarket and you see that soft plastics bin that's outside the door, start putting stuff in there because it'll help go back into the bale wrap. Obviously, as you say, Stuart, work's still ongoing with that. Ian, from a farmer's perspective then, farmers have always been about change, haven't they? It's always changing. The industry is always changing. Do you think this will be another change that people will just look to, particularly that younger generation, as you say, who are a bit more, I don't want to say they are completely or more environmentally minded, but there's that sort of trend. It'll be more natural for them to adopt this.
You could be very aggressive about this and say that if we as an industry don't change over the next few years and find solutions to this that work for farmers at a farming level, if we can't do that, then there is clearly a risk that it will be done for us, that legislation will force change. And nobody in the farming industry wants that. As we see it from an APE perspective, working, as I said, across the industry with all the key players in the industry in this area, that the solution lies, we think, in education, or information is a better word, information to farmers about, you know, the importance of this and how best to go about it. You know, taking a skip and sending it to the local council and going to landfill is not recycling, and there is impact in that area, number one. Number two is getting government engagement and government support to this so that all of the costs don't just fully land on the farmer's doorstep. And number three, having a body which acts, if you will, as a catalyst, as an organizer in setting up a structure that works across the UK. Because it's no good having a patchwork quilt operation where it works fantastically well in one area and farmers in another area are left hanging. And having that body that sets this up, and fundamentally then having infrastructure on the ground which is cost effective for farmers and for the collectors, you know, those are kind of the four key things that one needs to focus on. And it is, I think it's inherently important that we do deliver against this, because I said, if we don't, then the retail trade, the buyers of farm produce and government, because of the whole issue of environmental focus, it will come at us if we don't find a solution to it ourselves. And in my experience, at least, when things come at you, more often than not, it's not quite as palatable as if you work to the solution within your own industry.
Yes, completely. Some great closing thoughts there from you, Ian. And Stuart, finally from you, do you think that consumers, the farmers here, can help to drive the change if they are requesting these new products from you?
Like Ian said, and it's, we have to have joined up thinking. It's all our part to try and drive this forward. He's quite right when he says that if we can legislate ourselves, that's always going to be better than a government-led legislation, because it's always twice as bad. We know that. Yes, I think that is where the move that people are seeing, the fact that if you can use new products that are good with recycled product, will reduce potential for tax, also reduce the amount of plastic being used, and knowing that you've got a product that can recycle, I think we're on a crusade to get this message out to everyone. The times are changing, but there's still a huge amount of work still to do. But obviously what we're doing today, we're having this discussion between what we're doing on the Mall Valley podcast. It's very important to get the message out there and say, this is why we're doing it, and do an education process of what we want the plastic to come back in as, but also why we're doing it and the benefit is for everyone.
Thanks for choosing to listen to the Mole Valley Farmers podcast. I hope you found today's conversation really enlightening and possibly provided you with some solutions as to how you might deal with plastic on farm. And may I remind you to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening. And until next time, I'll speak to you soon.